Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We will continue in our study through 2 Timothy. We'll be starting our text this morning in chapter 3. But what we will do is that we'll just kind of review our chapter 1 and 2 and just kind of hit some highlights and get a running start at chapter 3. We talked in chapter 1 about Paul being in prison, and this is his second time in prison in Rome. The last time he's going to end up being beheaded. He's not going to get out. He's not on house arrest like he was last time in Rome. He's chained to a guard, and he's writing this letter to a young man named Timothy, who Paul would call his true son in the faith. I guess it'd be one of those deals where if Paul would have had a son, he would have wanted him to be just like Tim, you know. And so everybody needs a Paul, and everybody needs a Timothy in their life, someone to learn from and somebody to pass on those things that you learn too. There's some young men in this fellowship that are really good friends, and I don't really know if I'm really passing on so much to these young men. But it just makes me feel really good to say, yeah, he's my friend, because he's a minister and he's really serving God. So it really kind of makes me feel good of like, hey, it makes me look better whenever I'm hanging around him. So it's just really neat to see these young guys coming up and having a heart for God and stepping out in faith and doing these things that, you know, in your own strength would just scare you half to death. And Timothy was his true son in the faith. And so Paul is writing a heartfelt letter to him of, you know, just kind of like some last minute teaching on ministry. He talked about how his grandmother and his mother raised him up, and he knew the scriptures, and encouraged him to stir up the gift that had been laid on him by God. We also talked about everybody having a gift. Everybody here has a gift of some sort or another, and we have to stir up our faith and stir up our service to the Lord so that we'll even know what that gift is. Some of us may already know what our gift is. It may not be at the church. It may be, you may have a gift of at work, being able to encourage people, to be able to love people. That's that's an awesome gift. It talked about there early on in chapter 1 about Paul really wanting to see Timothy. It's just really lonely for him, and it's just really nice to see your brothers and sisters, you know, whenever, when you get the chance. Stir up that gift. He had talked about in 1 Timothy about, you know, don't let people despise you because of your youth. I would imagine that Timothy, being a young man, would have been kind of nervous, you know, teaching older men especially. I can relate to that. And it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. And that's, if there was a memory verse that you guys had, that would be one. You know, tattoo that on your arm. If you're going to get a tattoo, and I'm not a real strong opponent of tattoos at all, tattoo that on your arm. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Because, let's be honest, we get fearful. I get fearful. And that's the enemy. The enemy would cause you to be fearful, to get you to get all freaked out and not serve God and be all selfish and worried about oh, what if I don't, what if I can't do this? But he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Talked about don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And it's been, and now that it has been revealed of our Lord God, that's been revealed through Jesus Christ. Told him to hold fast the pattern of the teaching that I had given you. Wanted to encourage him. He's encouraging him to, you know, remember how I taught you and the things that I taught you and how I taught you that they were through the power of the Holy Spirit to you. He just wanted Timothy to depend on God and really to, like, you know, he wanted to pass the torch off to him because he knew that his time was short. I believe that when Jesus knocked Paul off of his horse, you know, in the book of Acts, that and he said, go into town, and he was blind. He says, go into town and see this guy, Annas, that, and he's going to tell you the kind of things that you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. I just think that at that point right there, that God just pretty well gave him a big revelation of what was going on. And I knew that I believe that he knew that this day was going to be coming where he was going to end up giving his life for the gospel. And so he's just taking this last time. Okay, Timothy, I want to, you know, really teach you this, and I want you to remember that, and this is how things are. And I think he would want us to do that because, let's be honest, we don't know if we're even going to have this afternoon. I mean, the way people drive in this town, we could get killed in a car wreck on the way home, and that's, you know, we laugh about that, but that's true. It happens every day. We could have a heart attack. We could, you know, whatever. We're just not guaranteed tomorrow. And so we need to take serious the Word of God when we read it. In chapter 2, he talks about you be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And you guys be strong in that grace. The grace, you know, if you're going to err on the side of grace instead of err on the side of judgment, being loving to people, forgiving to people. And that's what we're really trying to learn here, is how to be able to not be harsh with people, yet teach them the Word of God and let God deal with them, you know, tell them the truth, teach them the truth, but yet love them. And that's the hard one right there. We got to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, is to be able to love people. Talked about a single-minded soldier. You know, Paul used a lot of examples of soldiers and athletes. Used one here, a soldier, athlete, and a farmer, about being a serious teacher, a serious person desiring to learn and to be able to pass on the Word of God. You know, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You know, when people are shooting at you, you know, and the enemy is coming over the hill, and you've got to take care of your partners and your friends and your fellow soldiers, you're not worrying about your 401k at that moment. You're not worrying about whether or not you're going to be able to get down and get a Powerball ticket, you know, and all that night. You know, you are worried about the things at hand. And that's what he's talking about. Pay attention to the things at hand. Pay attention to that person that God is encouraging you to go talk to. Talking about athletics, you don't get crowned unless you compete by the rules. A farmer, when he's picking his crops, it's okay to go ahead and be the first guy to eat some of those beautiful, lush tomatoes that you've just grown. You know, that's okay. That's part of being a farmer. And just like us, you know, most of you guys have read the Bible from cover to cover more than once, and none of us are really teaching you any new awesome revelations, you know, that's just going to really blow your socks off. But what the deal is there in chapter 2, verse 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to profit. We're just reminding you guys. We're bringing this back to your remembrance. When you're going through a time of stress, when you're going through persecution or whatever, you forget that in chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We just need that reminded. We just need that remembrance to that, you know. All these things, you know, and that's what all this ministry is. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, when somebody else is going through something, remind them of these things. Encourage them in these things. And that's really all being a minister is. A minister, you know, everybody thinks that a minister is the pastor and the guy that runs the church and the whole nine yards. No. A minister is somebody who waits on tables, who serves, a servant. And that's who we are. We are servants. And we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. He allows us to be his servants. You know, he wants us to be. And it's really cool that the creator of the universe would want to use us and want to allow us to be an active part of his kingdom. That's cool. Instead of an active part of being able to fund, you know, whatever it is, to raise taxes or, you know, whatever it is the kingdoms of this earth do to us, you know, we always seem to pay more taxes or pay this or give more or whatever. Our Savior, our Creator, is the giving one, and we're the recipients of it. We're totally unworthy of it, but we're the recipients of that. He wants to remind Timothy to just stay away from arguments among words. Named a couple of guys here that were of this sort, and they've strayed. And we need to do the same thing. We need to not let people and their arguments sway us and get us, you know, derailed and sideways with the truth and with God's word. And here's a little bit of encouragement. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Talks about being a gentle servant, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. There again, don't argue about stuff. Talk to him about the truth, you know, and then, you know, there's no reason to argue about it. I mean, it's just, you know how arguments are. Somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong, and it's just not worth it. This is the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm not going to, you know, sit here and get in a big, you know, vein popping out of my neck or whatever, you know, argument with you and hollering, and whoever hollers the loudest is the winner of the argument. Yeah, don't go there. In humility, correct those who are in opposition. If God will perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And that's where it's all at. It's the enemy taking captive somebody's mind, their heart, whatever. Now, a Christian can be influenced by the enemy. He can't be possessed by the enemy, but the enemy, some Christians will let themselves be used by the enemy, you know, in those ways. And we got to be aware of that. We got to be preparing ourselves for that. We got to be watchful of that. So, having said all that, let's get into our text for today. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. That is a times of stress, times you know, peril. You know, I mean, that's a peril is a word that we really don't use so much anymore today. You know, not perilous. But it's a time of stress, and man, I'll tell you what, the world seems to be generating it. I mean, as you walk your walk, as you go to work, as you pay your taxes, as you pay your bills, as all this stuff goes, as you deal with your health insurance and all of that stuff, it just seems like that the farther you go, the more stressful, the more complicated, the just, I mean, man, it, you know, it says in the end, in the last days, perilous times will come. It's like, we're there, we're in the last days. It is, you know, and people have said that for years. Paul thought that the Lord was going to return during his lifetime. He was looking forward to that. And that's where we should be. We should be looking at it as if the Lord is going to come back in our lifetime. I really think that he is. I mean, if you look at prophecy and where we are and where we are in the world and the things that's going on in our nation, moving more towards a one world government, moving more towards these types of things, for sure we're closer today than we were yesterday. For men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Okay, we need to go find a cave and live in a cave because everybody we know is like that. Half the people we know in the world is like that. So what do? This is just selfishness that is sparking up in this world. And that's driven by our own desires, our own flesh is that way. The enemy would have us to be that way. I mean, that's what really got him kicked out of heaven in the first place, was selfishness. There's the teaching that Satan was once a worship leader in heaven, you know, directing praise to God. And then just one day he got to, you know, I want some of that praise for myself. And even said so, I'm gonna exalt myself above the throne of God. That is selfishness. That is, you know, delusion. And that's what we got to be mindful of. We got to know ourselves. Know where we came from. Know where we're going. Know who rescued us from where we were. We don't want to be selfish. We don't want to be going along here and having a form of godliness but denying its power. We don't want to have some kind of an outward impression that we are a totally holy roller, but yet inside be a bunch of dead men's bones. Like Jesus said, you know, talked about the Pharisees. We don't want that. We want to be real. We want to, we don't want to have a form of godliness. We want to be godly men and women. And how do we do that? Hanging on to Jesus. Being real with who we are. We're sinners. We sin when and we don't even realize that that particular thing or thought or whatever was sin. Was against God. Sin is not what's going to keep you out of heaven. Not knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is going to keep you out of heaven. John the Baptist came teaching a baptism of repentance. Make straight the way of the Lord. I think we need to realize who we are and live a lifestyle of repentance, realizing that that we mess up on accident and we mess up because we choose to sometimes. And we need to be real with that and be in that place of repentance, be in that place having a relationship. That's a relationship. Having a relationship with God. Man, I messed up here. I might have messed up and didn't even know it, Lord. You know, talking to Lord as if you're talking to a friend. Having a form of godliness but denying his power. And from such people, turn away. Don't fellowship with these people. Sure, share your faith. Share your gospel. But don't hang out. It's easier for people like that to bring you down than it is for one person to bring them up. Let the Holy Spirit worry about bringing them up. You know, share your faith with them. Help them to come to know the Lord. And it says right there that maybe he will grant them repentance and they will come to their senses. He will grant them repentance, causing them to come to their senses. For out of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. False teachers and false teachings only lead to more and more moral breakdown. And that's just what he's talking about here. There's fast-talking guys that will, they can get people to do anything that they want. You know, they're manipulative. And that's what he's talking about here. These guys are manipulative. And they don't go into strong people's houses. They don't go into the strong, godly women's houses and lead them astray. They go into houses that people are weak and all. And that's what you look for whenever you're trying to manipulate somebody, is somebody that's manipulatable. And that's what he's talking about here. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, there's people that's always seems to be on this awesome quest for God. Just every direction that they can go, they will go that direction just to be able to learn a little bit more, learn this or that. You know, that's really interesting. I'm going to pursue that. And pursue this word right here. If you sit down with an open heart and you pray and you ask God to open these words up to you, open this scripture up to you so that you might know the truth, he's going to do that. That's exactly what he is going to do. I mean, it may not be like, the moment you read it, but as you pray and as you study, You're going to learn, and the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. You may not necessarily understand here today. 3 days from now, you might read something in the same book or another book that's going to reinforce that, and then the revelation is going to come to you. Then it's going to be revealed to you, and you'll learn. Keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. And the Lord's going to reveal even that to you. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, and so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Jannes and Jambres are the two magicians, you know, that whenever Moses went up, let my people go to Pharaoh, and they threw their staffs down, they turned into snakes, and Moses threw his staff down, ate those two snakes up, you know, and when Moses turned the water into blood, or the river into blood, you know, they did the same thing. More referring to a Jewish legend about these two guys, these two Egyptian magicians that opposed Moses and didn't win over, that they failed. Moses prevailed. And that's where these guys are. They are looking to any other spiritual things. I mean, there was something going on there because they made their staves turn into snakes. There was something demonic going on there. I mean, they were spiritual men. They were just the wrong spirit. But Moses, being the true spiritual man, prevailed there. And that's where we want to be. We don't want to be messing around with all this stuff. There's spirits that you can open a doorway up to that you really do not want to have in your life. And I believe that there are demons active in this world. I believe that there are possessions active in this world these days that that you don't want to really get all messed up with. And that's what he's talking about here. Their minds have been corrupted, disapproved concerning the faith. You know, I mean, if you're chasing after something else, you are disqualified from the true faith, and you need to be brought back around that you may come to your senses and follow the one true God. But you, verse 10, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And this is encouraging him. You know, you've followed all this. You haven't gone down that path. You've kept yourself from that. And how do you keep yourself from that? You have a relationship with God, a true relationship with God. Are you going to be perfect every day? No. Guarantee you on that. You know, you'll have to, you know, seek repentance for tomorrow for not being like you ought to be today. But do the seeking, you know, do the repenting. You know, don't get to a point to where you just are living your life, and if you happen to sin, you just keep on going and you don't go to God with that sin. Don't be so ashamed of it that you don't take it to Him. I mean, we all do that. We all do it, and it all happens. So we need to stay in that place. Carefully follow this doctrine. Carefully follow this manner of life, this purpose, this faith, long-suffering, that's patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And that's what we got to realize. That is a faith booster. Whatever happened, and you were praying, you were desiring to know the Lord, you were wanting to get through this. The Lord delivered you. Keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind. Always remember, so that the next time you're in something, you're gonna say, well, you know, the last time the Lord delivered me, He's gonna deliver me again. Let's keep that in mind. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Yeah, well, that's another one of those that we didn't want to hear, but be that as it may, those disciples, you know, that got beat, you know, whipped, you know, and everything like that, and they turned and they whipped them and laid their back open, and they turned them loose, and they're like, cool, man, we was counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. I'm like, oh, man, I'd be like, oh, man, it hurt. Lord, why did you let them do that? Why didn't you deliver me from that? If ever time I asked God to deliver me from something, and He would just reach down and pick me up by the head and set me over into the smooth waters, I would never really learn anything. I would never really learn to depend on Him. I'd never really learn to trust Him and go, God, I know You're there. Help me to get through this. Take my hand and lead me through this, not just yank me out of it so that I will be, you know, some selfish, you know, baby Christian that never learns how to walk for himself, never learns how to depend on you for a thing. We want to learn. And it's easier if you have some experience in having the Lord deliver you from something, that when you're talking to somebody that is a non-believer and is really going through some tough times, to say, man, I went through this, and this is what God did. And these are the steps that he took me through to get me through that. They're gonna be a lot more comforted by that. They're gonna believe you a lot more than if you just say, "Well, trust the Lord. You know, he died for your sins. You know, so just trust in him, and he'll make everything okay." Yeah, we'll prove it. You know, give me an example of that, and you can, because you have sought the Lord, and he has delivered you from all of it. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The reason they're deceiving is because they have been deceived. I believe that there are Christians that can be deceived and be led off the path. I believe that there are some televangelists that have been deceived and have been led off the path, and that are continuing to lead people astray. And there's others, you know, that's not on TV that's doing the same thing. And we don't want to be there. We don't want to be deceived. That's why it's so important to have a Christian church that you go to, have Christian brothers and sisters that you listen to, that you talk to, that you have fellowship with, that can keep you on the path. You know, the word says iron sharpens iron. And as we talk with one another and we're real with one another, and we say, well, you know, you can't go down that path, because it's all that's doing is leading you astray, leading you into the path of unrighteousness, not onto the path of the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And there again, evil men and imposters are growing worse and worse, and there surely seems to be a lot of them these days. You really got to be on your guard. You really got to know your word. Bring your Bibles to church so you can make sure that we're not evil men and imposters standing up here leading you guys down a path. Keep that Bible there, and if somebody starts teaching you something that's not according to the word of God, that Bible is right in front of you, and you can say, hey, that is not right. But as for you, continue in these things which you have learned and had been assured of, excuse me, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Knowing from whom you have learned them, just like we were talking last week, you know whom you have believed, not what, not some creed, not some statement of faith from some church, but you know whom you believe, and that is Jesus. It's not me, it's not Pastor Bob, it's not Paul. It's you believe Jesus. For God so loved the world, this is Jesus' words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Not and speak in tongues, get back, you know, all these lists of other things that some people say that you have to do. Just a simple faith. So knowing whom you have learned him, that whom is from Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the whom, Jesus. Not none of us. If you learn, if anything sticks in your mind or in your heart today, it's not because I had some kind of eloquent words or anything of the kind. It's because the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart. And that's where you want. That's what you want. If you go to a church somewhere and that's not happening, you need to go to another church. You need to find yourself a new church. You don't want somebody to tell you a bedtime story and make everything okay, and you know, then you guys fall asleep, you know, before service is over with and all. You don't want that. You want to be taught the truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. You want God to be teaching you. You want something from God. You don't want something from men. You can walk out on the street and get something from men. You don't have to get up early on Sunday morning and go down and get that. You can get hosed over from somebody on the street. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now he's talking about the Old Testament here. And see, we think that we got to have the New Testament, you know, from Matthew to Revelation, you know, to know what the deal is with salvation. But see, Paul right here says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament is going to let us know just exactly what's going on with Jesus. We have read many books in the Old Testament that prophesy of Jesus' birth, the Messiah. 600 and some, I can never remember the exact number of Bible prophecies, 600 and some. Relating to Jesus and his birth and death on the cross and raising from the dead, that you know, all these guys would figure all the odds of what it would be, you know, and it's like Pastor Brian had read a teaching one time about the odds of somebody being able to fulfill. And it wasn't the whole 680 or 600 or whatever it was. But he said it was like if you took a quarter and laid them side by side, row after row after row, and covered the whole state of Texas. That's a big state, and I'd take a lot of quarters. It'd be the odds of somebody doing 8 or 10 or 15, whatever the number that he gave, was like one quarter out of all of those quarters. And if you look at it like that, that's pretty awesome odds. You know, I mean, I don't know how long it'd take you to lay them all out like that, but especially when you get down to that point down there, you know, row bigger and longer and wider, wider and longer, you know, and then shorter when we get up here. It'd take you a long time to do that. You'd have to have some help doing that. And so that's some pretty heavy-duty odds. So the Old Testament is telling us about Jesus, telling us about how to be saved, telling us how to come to know God. The New Testament is too, and I'm not making light of the New Testament, but we're just using what they had at the time, the Old Testament, and its importance. And it says here in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's what that word inspiration is God-breathed. Pneuma is the word that they give for the Holy Spirit, is what the Greek word is for the Holy Spirit. Pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit. But it's literally the breath of God. It is the word, you know. In John it says, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The Holy Spirit was involved with that. The Holy Spirit was the one that that came over Mary, and she got pregnant with Jesus. But it is profitable for doctrine, you know, for teaching, for reproof, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, teaching us how to be a man of God, a woman of God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's what we want. We need to be equipped to be able to do good things that God has given us to do before the foundations of the earth. You know, before in the beginning God, he had this awesome plan laid out for each and every one of us, what each and every one of us, he'd want each and every one of us to be doing. A plan that once he set it into motion, it was flawless. You know how it is when we plan, you know, and we study that and we plan and we go over it again and we go over it again and we think, man, when we start this job, it's going to go smooth. What always happens? Either you can't get something, they discontinued that, or they've changed it from that to this, you know, or your tool breaks down and the company you bought it from that had a lifetime guarantee, they went out of business, and so now you got to find a new, you know, or whatever. You know, it just never works out exactly like we want it, you know. But not God's plan. God, I mean, he is the best planner that ever has been or ever will be. His plan is flawless. It's not like when we mess up that we catch God by surprise and he goes, I surely didn't think you were going to do that. He knew it. And yet he still loves us, and he has the plan that makes up for all our mess ups. Every time we mess up, he's already planned what we're going to do, what he's going to do to make up for that. And that's awesome. That is totally awesome that he's already got it planned out. Now, I'm not saying that all you got to do is just sit back on your haunches and just wait and just miraculously go. No, you got to go and you got to do and you got to try and you got to walk. And as we have our relationship and as we read our word, what it says here, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That doesn't mean just men. That means women also. That means mankind. I don't know if there are any modern women in here that are, we're not being male chauvinist pigs or anything like that. It's mankind, not just men. So that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work also. I charge you therefore before God, because of all this, because you have carefully followed my manner, because all scripture is given for by inspiration of God, is God-breathed. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now that is a heavy command here. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's heavy duty. I'm commanding you here. I'm serious as a heart attack about this. This is what? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. That's for us is sharing our faith, preaching the word. Like I said last week, preaching is for unsaved people. Teaching is for the saved people. For those of us who are saved, we need to be taught for those that are unsaved, they need to be preached to. They need to have the Word of God preached to them. Convince them. Rebuke. Now, rebuke, you know, we always think that rebuke, man, you're really going to chew somebody out because they did whatever. And that's not really what a rebuke is. A rebuke is pointing out a fault with the desire that they would change. Not that you would just shoot them, you know, and kill them. You know, you don't want to shoot the wounded. You know, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to make them worse than they already are. It's all about love. You're wanting to say, man, look at where you're at, and point out and hope and pray that they will change, that they will come to their senses. With all long suffering and teaching. That means with patience. Patiently do these things. Be ready in season and out of season. There's a lot of guys that will say, you know, hey, you need to be ready in season and out of season to be ready to teach or to preach or whatever like that. If Pastor Bob gets sick and he calls you up on Saturday night, you need to be ready to come up with something for the next morning and cover him. Yeah, that's true too. But also, you know, preach the word and this be ready in season and out of season, whether it seems to be, whether the fruit seems to be ripe or not, whether it seems to be the right time, whether it seems like there's going to be any ripe fruit from it at all or not, share your faith patiently. Go ahead and tell somebody about it. Even if you think that they're just going to totally shine you on, tell them. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You can hear just about anything that you want to hear these days through television, through the internet. You know, you can go to places that they are going to make you feel good about where you're at. These people aren't looking for the truth. They're looking for some kind of a justification of their sin, of the place that they're in, so that they don't have to come to their senses. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Get you some teachers that you can trust and that you know teach the truth, and be happy and content with that. Don't just ever, you know, don't have 50 teachers that you listen to, because every time somebody teaches the word, unfortunately, it is tainted with that person, with whatever's going on with that guy or woman that might be teaching. The word is always tainted with that, and from varying degrees, you don't want that. You don't want to be taught, well, in this particular part of Scripture, we teach it this way, and then this guy over here teaches it this way. You know, get you some teachers that you can trust and you know that teach the truth, and be happy with that. Don't just keep looking for more and more and more and more ways for somebody to say the same thing about the Word of God. Look for faithful men that's going to teach the truth. But these guys here, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth and turn their ways, you know, to where it's going to tickle their ears and make their ears happy, a little joke, a little funny, a little story, instead of a verse-by-verse teaching. But you be watchful in all things. You, the man, the woman of God, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Be patiently endure these afflictions. don't just desire at the moment, at a moment's notice, that God pull you out and set you over on the safe ground. Ask Him to get you through that. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Whatever your ministry is, whatever you feel that God has called you to do, whether it is picking cigarette butts up out in the parking lot, whether it is cleaning bathrooms, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your service to God, whatever that is, to the best of your ability. Do the work of an evangelist is just sharing your faith with somebody and what God has for them, you know, the salvation that God has for them. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and at the time of my departure is at hand. See, Paul knows that this is, that it's coming down to the end for him. He knows that he's not going to get out of this prison this time, that it's going to be the end. He's going to go home and see the Lord. A drink offering is something from the Old Testament. It's something not recoverable. I mean, it was usually wine, and they'd just literally pour it out on the ground. I mean, you can't get that back. Remember David? He was saying, he said, "Man, I wish I had a drink of water. I really miss Jerusalem, and I wish I had a drink of water out of the well there." And it was Abner. I think it was Abner that risked his life and snuck in and got him a drink of that water and brought it to him just because he loved David and knew what David was all about. And David took it, knowing that he had done all that, and he poured that out as a drink offering to God. And it's just like, "Hey, I just risked my life so you can have a drink of that." But he knew that was more awesome than him drinking that. A drink offering is not something that's recoverable, and it's like, "I'm being poured out." And in ministry, sometimes you're going to feel like that. You're going to feel like you have been poured out. You're going to feel like you ain't got nothing left. That this is the end. And for Paul, it's really not the end. I mean, it's the beginning. I mean, we look at this life as being the only thing there is, this physical realm, because that's all we know. We don't really realize that when we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has for us. It's going to be way better than this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. These are athletic terms. I would imagine that if Paul was around here today, he'd probably watch football, watch the sports and stuff like, he would, be interested in that. I'm sure he probably wouldn't just hang out in front of the TV. He'd probably go to the game, and everybody within earshot around there would be preached the word to. But he used these, examples so that people would understand what he's talking about. I mean, there's guys that can tell you the names of everybody on a football team and their wife's name and their kids' names and their dog's name and the fish's name and everything like that. I mean, they know all about this, and it's just like, I don't even remember how many innings there are in a football game. I have kept the faith. That's what we want. We got to keep the faith through it all, through all this stress, through all this, to the end. If you happen to be caught someday laying in a sick bed with cancer, and you know that this is the last straw, keep the faith to the end. If you're driving down the road and traffic gets heavy, keep the faith, it may be the end. And that's where we want to be. We want to have faith. We want to be a faithful man or woman of God. Paul talks about here, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. I wonder if that's where they bred the dog Dalmatians, at Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me, his doctor, Dr. Luke. Get Mark and bring him with me, for he is useful to me for ministry. Remember, Mark was the guy that left when I went to Pamphylia. And then later on, him and Barnabas got all sideways with each other and to the point where they even split company. Because, you know, Mark was Barnabas's nephew. And then now, apparently, there has been a... they've all made up and everything, for he's useful to me in ministry. You know, Paul forgave. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. He's sending these guys out. Now, see, Titus isn't somebody that departed loving this present world. Right after this, Paul writes a pastoral epistle to Titus, a pastor that he has sent to Dalmatia. He's sending these guys out. He's giving them their working orders and going and saying, okay, now you guys go and preach the word. You guys go do these things. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. It's going to come wintertime, and he's going to be in a dungeon, and he's, you know, you don't want that coat. I'm thinking that the books and the parchments that he's going to want to show Timothy something there, even giving him a little bit more teaching, doing everything that he can to prepare Timothy to take that baton and to be able to teach the truth. After he's gone, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his work. You must also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Alexander was a guy in the book of Acts. Could be the same guy here. There was a big riot in Ephesus, and there were silversmiths and such that were making idols and everything. And when Paul was teaching the word, why their livelihood was at stake. So they went crazy and he got arrested and everything. But Paul didn't worry about that. He said, may the Lord repay him. You also beware of him. You know, keep your eye on this guy. Don't let him... At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged with against them. That's really discouraging, but Paul forgave them. You know, he knew what the deal was. Just look at what the disciples did with Jesus. You know, they forsook him. Fear. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is another scripture verse, memory verse I want you guys to memorize. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Awesome. When you're going through something, remember that verse. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth. But Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come to me before winter. He wants that coat. He doesn't need that coat, so come before the winter time. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And I say that to you guys. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be to you. If you guys are here, most of you guys I know, and I know that you guys are Christians, but if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have a couple of guys up here praying, and they would love to pray with you. Today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed any more time than what we've already had today. And it would be my desire, it'd be the desire of these guys up here, that you guys would come to know Jesus if you don't know him. If you don't know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus, come up here, and these guys would love to pray with you that you would know. This is not, this really isn't something to mess around with. This isn't something to go and, when you're trying to buy something and call Star Lumber and find out what their price is and Lowe's and everybody, and then think about it and wonder whether you really need it or not, or, you know, and then maybe by the time you decide, then by the time you decide that, yeah, I really need that, it's off sale and you should have went ahead and got it in the first place. But this is not something to play with. Come up here. If you got anything else, if you got any family members that have got sicknesses or just going through things, come up and let these guys pray for you. Pray with you. Learn how to pray with these guys. These guys are one's a pastor and one's an elder. They know how to pray. They've done it before. They've prayed for me. Prayed for me this morning, and just awesome. Come up and let these guys pray with you. I'm going to call the band back forward and ask you guys to stand, and we'll sing some more songs and everything, and I'm going to close us out in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to lift all of us up to you. Each person in this room, Lord, I want to lift up and just ask, Lord, that you would protect their hearts, that you would guard them and help them not to go down the road of false teaching. Don't let false teachers affect them. Keep them learning about the truth. Keep them in your hands, Lord. Take them home safe and sound, and be with them for the rest of the week, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804. Or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.